The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Black Love Reimagined. Who's afraid of the big, bad biological clock? Not black women, who are boldly choosing themselves over timelines, tradition, and the chase for a ring. 55 years ago, Essence published its very first issue with the cover line, Sensual Black Man, Do You Love Me? The article dove deep into the glaring uptick in numbers of single black women. Writer Louise Merriweather framed the rise of marriages between black men and white women, which had been legalized only 3 years before, in 1967, as the main cause of the man drain at the time. While some of the sentiments in that article ring true today, things have changed in monumental ways. Recent data published by Essence paints an interesting picture of the current state of black love. The percentage of black women who had never been married grew from 37% in 1990 to 49% in 2022. While the numbers may seem alarming on the surface, they actually point to a growing trend of black women seeking personal fulfillment rather than opting for marriage for its own sake. We are redefining what happily ever after means, even if it doesn't include the husband, kids, and a white picket fence. Most of all, we are taking the boundless love that we pour so freely into family, career, and community, and pouring much of it back into ourselves. Should romantic love cross our path on the journey, we will welcome it. Therapist and former Essence relationship columnist Sherry Blake, PhD, aka Dr. Sherry, sees this shifting mentality as a positive trend. For many years, I think there was a panic that if you did not have a husband or a mate by a certain age, then you were a failure, she says. That pushed a lot of women into settling in relationships that they were not happy in. Women have decided, I am no longer willing to allow that panic button to go off in me. I am okay on my own. First comes love. Ebony K. Williams, attorney and television personality, has long forged her own path when it comes to love. The native of southeastern Louisiana was raised by a single mother who ascended from poverty as an entrepreneur. Growing up, Williams did not know her father, and she recalls that the lessons on finding a mate that she received from her elders were more cautionary than aspirational. What was molded for me in my immediate family was not being a wife or getting a husband, she says. Instead, I watched my mom literally go from food stamps and housing vouchers to BMWs, Porsches, 3,000 square foot houses, Louis Vuitton, and all the things with no man in sight. For Williams, this birth, the idea that money and earnings correlated with freedom and safety, and that love was secondary. Manifest Destiny. Jessica Justy, known on the internet as content creator Jesse Wu has always moved through life as if the odds were stacked in her favor. Born to Haitian parents, she grew up in Miami and was raised by an ultra-conservative Christian mother who instilled ideals of purity in her from a very young age. In Haitian culture, you are taught, do not love with the lower part of your body, she says. You are not taught how to date. You're not taught what to look for. But then when you turn 30, people ask, where's your husband? Dating was made even more complicated by the colorism she experienced. In high school, there was a football player that I had a huge crush on, and he was darker than me, she recalls. He told me, Jess, you're cool, but dark skins are not in right now. I'll never forget that. Moving to Atlanta offered Justie a fresh start, not only for her career, but also in terms of living in a culture where blackness is the standard. In her 30s, she decided she would approach dating openly and fearlessly. I just was like, I'm going to meet my husband this year. I was delusional like that, she says. I kept coming up short, but I was like, it's okay. It's January 1st. I'm up to swing at bat again. I kept renewing that vow to myself. That unwavering faith led her to meet her current boyfriend, Jay Allen, a producer who visited Dish Nation in 2024 to promote his Freaknik, The Wildest Party Never Told documentary. Just was a host on the show at the time and didn't realize they had already crossed paths by living in the same building. Allen asked for her number, and after a week of exchanging voice notes, he invited her to attend church service with him on Easter Sunday. Afterward, they had brunch and became absorbed for hours in deep conversation. I cut everybody off after that, she says. I knew I had found someone to whom I wanted to dedicate my time. Just calls her encounter with Allen a move directed by God that wouldn't have been possible if she hadn't kept the faith. I didn't like when people say, you find him when you least expect him. No, I always expected him, she says. I came into the year looking for my husband. I was always expecting that I was going to find my person. Holding on to hope. We can't talk about the current state of love without revisiting the past. We are at a moment in history when we are bearing the fruit of a lot of long-term patterns in our community, says former Essence Lifestyle and Relationships editor Cherie K. Jackson. The reality is that Black Americans never had the space, time, or resources to truly heal from the immense trauma of enslavement and oppression and all the realities of what it has meant to be Black in America. This trauma, compounded with the rise of gender wars on social media and Red Pill podcast, creates friction that taints the dating pool. There's a lot of bleeding on each other in our community, Jackson says. Where you see unhealed behavior that's now broadcast out. The silver lining is that Black women have more options than ever before. When the first issue of Essence was published, women could not even get credit cards or loans without a male co-signer. Now, Black women are the fastest growing group of entrepreneurs. The freedom, autonomy, and independence we now have were only a dream held by our ancestors. And with the fulfillment of the dream becomes the possibility to reach beyond limits that no longer need exist, including when it comes to romance. Jackson's favorite features to work on during her time on staff at Essence were about women finding love abroad. To this day, she thinks traveling and being open to love from other cultures and across the diaspora is an area that Black women should explore more often. If you are an educated Black woman, put your passport to use, she says. Go where you are celebrated, where there are Black men who love and celebrate us, and there are other men who appreciate and celebrate us as well. Though the love and dating waters can be murky, the future is nevertheless bright for us. Black women are moving away from defining themselves and other women solely by relationship status, says Jackson. This generation is more educated. We are more exposed. We are valuing ourselves, seeing our worth, doing the work on our relationships with ourselves and our relationships with our sister friends. We aren't necessarily waiting on a man to live the life we dream about. The next article is titled 30 Years of Strength and an Ongoing Fight. 30 years after Ray Lewis Thornton became the face of HIV, the disease remains a major threat to Black women. The activist, along with public health experts, explores what fuels the epidemic. Ray Lewis Thornton was diagnosed with HIV when she was 24. The year was 1987, a time when the epidemic was accelerating at an alarming rate. 2 years prior, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, has found that 51% of adults and 59% of children whose HIV had progressed to AIDS were dying of the illness, often within 15 months after learning that they had the disease. In 1994, the 32-year-old Lewis Thornton appeared stoically on Essence's groundbreaking December cover, boldly declaring that she was facing AIDS. In her interview with Teresa Wiltz, she shared how an attempt to donate blood led to discovering she had HIV, which by 1992 had become full-blown AIDS. An educated, accomplished Black professional from Chicago who had survived an abusive childhood and seemed the picture of health, she stated simply, "I am dying." She seemed serene about and settled into her presumed fate, yet she resolved to keep living fully. And more than 30 years after she put a Black woman's face to the HIV crisis, Ray Lewis Thornton is not in a grave. She's living happily in the small town of Alton, Illinois. During the COVID-19 pandemic, Lewis Thornton decided, "I am buying a house where I can have my morning tea and listen to the birds chirp." She was done with doubt, fear, and apartment living in Chicago. Today, the walls of her beloved cottage house, more than 4 hours southwest of the city, are covered with watercolors, acrylics, religious imagery, florals, and portraits she's been collecting for 3 decades. At every turn, she sees something beautiful that helps her stay on an even keel emotionally while living with AIDS at 63. I've never been more at peace in my entire life, she says, than I am now. No longer married to the man she introduced in her Essence story, I ain't seen that Negro walking on the street literally in 20-something years. She embraces her solitude. Honestly, I am good. If I don't see another man in my life, I am good, she says, recounting abuse from childhood and complicated relationships as an adult. Now I want to garden. I prefer to garden than to have sex. Surviving all these years has been without question a triumph, but it has also been hard. Lewis Thornton has weathered 3 bouts of the AIDS-related infection, PJP, a type of pneumonia which has claimed many lives. She has abnormal distribution of body fat and bone density loss, and she's fighting high cholesterol because of the medication she is prescribed. She takes antidepressants because I believe in God, but I also believe in science, and has medicine fatigue from taking pills and getting injections for the last 30 plus years. Missing a few doses of her medication recently, 4 pills in the morning and 3 at night, caused Lewis Thornton's viral load to become detectable again at the time of our conversation. When HIV is undetectable, the virus is under control and cannot be transmitted. But when it is detectable, the immune system is vulnerable, opening the door to opportunistic infections. This is living with HIV/AIDS long term. I'll always have HIV in my body because there's no cure, she says. There is always inflammation when there is a foreign agent and your body is trying to fight it off. So we have a higher morbidity with issues of cancer, heart disease, and diabetes than people who are aging without HIV. Even though a diagnosis of HIV or AIDS is no longer the death sentence that many feared in the 1980s and 1990s, Lewis Thornton maintains that the best advice is don't get infected. You can live a long time, but your body is internally aging. HIV is not just in my blood, it infects all of your organs. An ongoing crisis. Overall, rates may have decreased, but a lot of people are still contracting HIV, especially Black women. According to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office of Minority Health, OMH, in 2022, Black women were 10 times more likely than non-Hispanic white women to be diagnosed with HIV. Black heterosexual women fall behind only Hispanic, Latino, gay men, Black gay men, and white gay men in the diagnosis rates per the CDC. Even more disturbing, younger people 13 to 24 account for 20% of new HIV cases in the U.S., and they are the least likely to stay in care. The reasons behind these troubling numbers are complex. There are young people I've spoken with who don't even know what HIV is, says Bithia LaFont, 44, Director of Corporate Communications at V2V Health Care, a global pharmaceutical company that develops medication to prevent and treat HIV/AIDS. When I was growing up in the 90s, HIV really was something that people thought about. It was prevalent in the headlines, like the Essence cover in 1994, continues LaFont, who is based in Raleigh, North Carolina. I think HIV, even 20 years ago, was a bigger part of the discourse than it is right now. This lack of education affects everyone from teens to older adults who sometimes engage in unprotected sex in nursing homes. I've been in settings where people say, "Condom? What is that? Why use it?" says Maisha Stadifer, PhD, MPH, Director of Population Health at the Satcher Health Leadership Institute at Morehouse School of Medicine. The community-based researcher, 51, has been trying to inform people since she was at Spelman College in the early 90s, dispensing educational materials and condoms at Atlanta's Freaknik parties. When you are in a relationship, whether it's committed or casual, you need to use protection, prophylaxis, and that's including condoms. In addition to such highly effective barrier methods of prevention, there are newer medicines like pre-exposure prophylaxis, or PrEP, and PEP for post-exposure protection. However, many people don't think they need them. Some say, "Okay, well, I'm not engaging in risky behaviors," Stedifer notes, "but having sex, that's a risky behavior." Lewis Thornton agrees that too many people assume they are not at risk. Some cisgender women, in the pursuit of relationships, forego asking a guy to use condoms. Some people avoid getting tested, and some see HIV as a simple chronic disease now, something they no longer view as a major concern. I tell women all the time, the only way to stop this disease is for people to really, really wrap it up. Protecting yourself. PrEP, approved by the FDA in 2012, is touted as a formidable prevention option, as it reduces the risk of getting HIV through sex by around 99%. However, early marketing unintentionally reinforced the misconception that the product and the virus was only for gay men. A lot of people saw PrEP commercials and they are like, "That doesn't have anything to do with me," LaFont says. Black women are one of the groups most affected by HIV, so now we try to be inclusive in our marketing. Commercials today include different people, so everyone can see, "That person looks like me. Maybe I should pay attention." HIV does not discriminate. We want to make people aware that there are preventative options for everybody. Even so, new drugs are often met with skepticism in Black communities where there is a long history of medical mistrust. It's the same thing with COVID-19. Whether it's a vaccine or some other type of medication, culturally we are saying we don't want to be forced, Stadifer notes. So whether you think you have reasons to take it or not, we are still very apprehensive. Brittany Britt Williams, PhD 34 of Atlanta, started using PrEP after she discovered that a former sexual partner had practiced stealthing, removing or damaging a condom, or lying about using one during intercourse. This person was in school to become a medical doctor, Williams says. I decided to walk away. I could not rationalize, process, or understand that even as someone in healthcare, he could not fully understand consent and the right of refusal. I agreed to have sex with him using condoms or a barrier method. I did not agree to unprotected sex. Leaving that situation with health status intact, she is now a vocal advocate for PrEP use. There are broad assumptions that the only women on PrEP are those who are engaged in sex work, or they have to navigate sex trafficking, or they are having promiscuous sex, she says. I want to reshape the narratives around what a PrEP user looks like. It is for everybody. Doing the work. Gracie Carter, 46, of Los Angeles, is a trans woman, an activist, and a host of Plus Life Media's What's the JAG talk show. Diagnosed with HIV in 2003, she has been using her platform to end the stigma around it. A former star hairstylist who worked with Garcelle Bovas, Tia and Tamira Mowry, and others, she decided to share her diagnosis publicly in 2021 and to embrace her truth. I am a person who has been through so many different painful, traumatic experiences, she says, but there's purpose in everything that we go through. Carter's hardships included sexual abuse, molestation, losing both her parents, and surviving gun violence twice. Such trauma plays a significant role in HIV diagnosis, and therefore it must be addressed in order to curb new infections. Trauma leads to risky behavior, Lewis Thornton explains. I told my mom her husband was touching my breast, and she said, "You ain't going to mess up my situation." Being beaten, sexual abuse in a family, it really impacts who we are, what we do, and how we move. Carter agrees it plays a huge role in the way that you see yourself, your self-worth, and your value, and that can lead you on a path that may be self-destructive, she says. You may not feel that in the moment, because it's deep-rooted. But as you grow and heal and become more honest with yourself, you see it does play a part in your decision-making and how you ended up in the situation you have. Thinking it couldn't happen to you is naive. Never say never, says Carter. Sometimes the things you feel would never happen may be a wake-up call for you. Be mindful, be aware, be proactive. Having worked through her traumas, she encourages others to live authentically. All stigmas, HIV included, be damned. These days, she refuses to allow her diagnosis to hinder her joy. The diagnosis does not define me. I'm so much more than that, Carter says. I am a bright, beautiful, colorful human being. It's taken a long time for me to say that, not from a place of ego or pride, but knowing that all of what tried to break me down has only built me up. Lewis Thornton also spent years doing the work processing the trauma that she experienced at the same time as she made her efforts as an HIV activist. Her work is far from over. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.